Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
The Irish Pop-Up Collective, which was set up in 2019 to support smaller Irish businesses and brands and give them a retail platform, as they're often not able to do bricks and mortar, has been usually successful. Of course, they have approximately 50 makers and brands at each event, and a minimum of €100,000 worth of business is done on the day. So this is a big event coming up, the two Irish pop-up collective events taking place in December the 7th and 14th, all taking, I suppose, part of that Christmas spirit and vibe more generally. So I'm here to kind of discuss about the business model of pop-up shops. We've all been in them, we've all seen them on our streets. But what is behind them, and are they a good idea? Because you do sometimes get pushback from bricks and mortar people. So I'm delighted to be joined here in the studio by Kate Fine, who is one of the co-founders of the collective, and Una Burke, who's very well known for her leather work, and she'll feature at both of those events on the 7th and 14th that I've just mentioned. Ladies, welcome along. Thank you for joining us.
It's
good to have you. Nice way we just said goodbye Halloween, welcome Christmas.
We can say the C word now.
We can say what we like, okay? If I can come to you first, Kate, pop-ups, everyone knows that they're a very buzzy subject, right? It's something that's always been discussed. I think they're a great idea because I think it's like a way to test out a business idea without making the full financial commitment. So it's a way to sort of experiment, which we should all follow. So what is the traditional model of them? How does it work?
Well, in our case, we started pre-COVID. Debbie would have a background in retail and trade shows, and myself, I've been doing markets for years. So we were trying to find a niche where we could come together to find that stepping stone from myself doing markets and as she does commercial, is to find something that's pre-retail, again, for testing the market. But really, it was a way to create something where we could bring together makers, designers, small businesses, and give an opportunity to kind of create this shopping environment, but where it's curated and it has quality.
And can you give us an idea of the diversity of types of businesses that are in there?
Wow.
Because I had a stereotype that it was all fashion, all clothes.
No. I mean, it's now...
Put me straight.
To be honest, like, it's become quite popular, the pop-up. So there are variations, right? For us, we started small and we had Electronic Sheep, we had Joni, we had a few brands, but it has scaled. And now what we do is we curate it and we focus on categories. So we ensure that the whole experience, shopping experience, entails beauty, skincare, clothing, jewellery, menswear, art, craft. You know, we kind of specifically, we go down rabbit holes and we look for what people want when they walk in under the one roof. Now, we're lucky that we have a great space. We have that space because you need it. You don't want to be cramped. But I mean, you name it, we have it there. And we want people to come in on the day, nice and warm in a lovely room, and everything is there. And it's the key thing is that it's supporting Irish businesses. It's a platform for them to, as Una will probably say herself, is to meet her customers and vice versa. Customers can meet new customers because each brand is going to be promoting it. So they're gaining a much wider audience. And it's most important, it's a great source of income for small businesses on the day.
Okay, Una, you've been put up onto the platform here to tell us a bit more. Your work is very well known. I'm looking at your client list. It's something else. You've got some serious Hollywood A-listers, Lady Gaga, Madonna, and Nicki Minaj are some of the people. Am I right? You've worked with your work has been used by.
Yeah. I established my business in 2010 when I graduated from a master's course at London College of Fashion. And so I started off making very conceptual pieces, and now it's filtered down into more wearable fashion pieces. I had studied at Limerick School of Art and Design.
And it's always leather you do?
I studied in general fashion before in 1998 in Limerick School of Art and Design. And then I specialised in 2007 to 2009 in that master's course, specialising in, vegetable tanned leather. Sorry, leather even.
And tell us a little bit. So for a pop-up for you, right, you have two routes. You have three routes. You could just stay online, presumably, right? There's no rule against that. You could go with a bricks and mortar option. So you could go and get a bank loan and sign a lease and all the rest of it. Are this medium ground of the pop-up, why does that work for you in particular?
It works really well for me because, online, you're not meeting your customers face-to-face. It's a big difference, actually, like selling directly to them when they're in front of you. And then I'm based now. I set up the business in London, and then I moved at home in 2020 to County Roscommon, where I'm from, where I was brought up.
Was that COVID, presumably, the
year
that you mentioned?
It was actually before that, because a lot of different things happened in my life that led me to just make a decision that I wanted to be, or myself and my partner, we wanted to be back home near family. And so we moved home, and, you know, we would have a big market in Dublin, but also around the country. And people travel, I think, from around the country up to this event in Dublin. So, you know, I don't
could
want
you live
to
off,
invest.
For your business, could you just live off pop-ups every few years? You know, just do one once a year, and that sort of nourish your business that way?
Yeah, it helps. And then, like, after the pop-up, people will shop through the website again. And through the publicity of the pop-up as well, you know, it generates, you know, a lot more exposure for the brand. So it makes sense for us to do it every couple of months.
Now, Kate, I suppose I'll just put the other side, because there's always another side, which is, you know, these shops come and go. They don't necessarily help the high street, because they're coming and going, and then they're empty for a period until the next one arrives. We would prefer to have a bricks and mortar that's more established and lasts a longer time. What say you?
Well, I think there's different aspects, because, you know, in a sense, if you were running a pop-up all the time, sometimes things can become saturated as well, right? The other thing is the reality of organising an event. Believe it or not, Debbie and I start curating these events in July. There's a lot of work, because they're professionally run, you would say, Una, I guess.
Yeah, 100%.
We run it very well. But I mean, there's definitely people are taking... For me, I see vacant spaces a lot around town, which shouldn't be allowed.
You just say, why could not a pop-up at least be there for a month or two rather than
I have knocked on doors. I've gone to agents saying, can I use the space?
And what
did
they say back?
No.
Not interested. And do they give you any kind of reasoning?
No. Just the landlord says
on a permanent tenant.
I think landlords would rather let it sit vacant. I don't know, maybe you can answer that.
I really can't.
But look, you know, it's just there's no middle ground between that, having to get a shop, and that's a huge commitment. As you say, going to banks, getting loans. So really, for us, from our perspective, we started pre-COVID and it wasn't, we want to just focus on those seasonal events like Christmas and summer, and they're really big events.
And could there be a role here for like the local authorities, right? And just bear with me, where Dublin Corporation say, and I'm just picking them at random, no disrespect to them, but here's our list of pop-up potential tenants. Hello, Mr. or Mrs. Landlord. Mm-hmm. You could pick from this list of 30 or 40, and they're all approved and verified for us, and we're happy, etc. And you just pick them off the list like a job interview. I mean, am I gone off the reservation?
No, I mean, I see, like, we did approach, I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but we approached a few, let's say, buildings that were used as offices for councils, and they would be perfect for pop-ups, you know, but they're used as offices. And I just think if a space is sitting there, you know, even if it's for peak seasons, for Christmas or summer, where they're allowed to be used for 2 months. Now, you have to remember, though, someone has to organise it. Someone has to manage it. There's a lot more back end rubbish. You know, there's so many different aspects to running it and costs. But it's doable, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Let the message go out.
It's good for a community in general. I think if there's more buzz going on, like the local coffee shops will sell more.
Yeah.
You know, the hand local in pubs, hand. The local restaurants. And I know that from... in my local town, Boyle, you know, there's a new...
Will you forfeit 3 months rent, right? Let's say take 3 months and just sitting there empty, maybe it's 6 months. Mm-hmm. What's the point of forfeiting 3 months rent from a landlord point of view when you could get something? Okay, they mightn't pay you the market rate, but they pay more than zero, right?
Exactly, but also it puts their property on the map, right? So it's showcasing their space.
Yeah.
You could be walking past a vacant space on a street and not realise it's there. But if you put some energy and life into it,
Una, I wanted to ask you, obviously what you people will always say about fashion clothing, I need to feel the garment, I need to go and touch it.
Yeah, it helps for sure.
So for you, is that what the real selling point of a pop-up from your point of view?
Yeah, it makes sense for our customers, like that they can feel the quality of the product, you know, makes, and for us, like that we can kind of chat to the customer and see, you know, what's stopping them by it maybe.
Feedback. Like,
it's great that way. And like, I'm not going to invest in, you know, opening a shop in Dublin where there's great footfall, because like, I've got two kids, I can't be up here all the time. And like in my local town, there wouldn't be quite as much footfall. So it's a higher risk again.
So it's a way to dip the toe in the water, A, yeah. and B, it's a yeah. promotional opportunity. So there's mm-hmm. two.
And to make money.
It's a huge
yeah, well, ultimately, that's the aim yeah. at the end of it.
We wouldn't
yeah.
be doing it if it was yeah. just promotion.
But if you just didn't sell that much, if nothing else, you've given yourself the visibility.
Absolutely. Yeah. I say that is, look, we do our part in organising it. You help us with promoting it. We do our part. But for them, I always say, hopefully everyone does great on the day, but it's, bottom line, you are exposing yourself to so many new customers. And the other thing is, a lot of brands end up collaborating. There's a huge network support system there. Okay. So a lot of people out of our Irish pop-ups have ended up.
Okay, well, listen, I need to pop down effectively from yes. this because I'm under time pressure. Both of you, thank you very much. Kate Vine was the voice you heard there. And before that, Una Burke, well done to you. And good luck, both of you, with the Irish Pop-Up Collective and those two events.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.